All right. Buckle in and listen fast, because Dad doesn't waste words or time. And to those of you that have heard him know what I'm talking about, but I know that God has a lot of rich truth in store for us this week. Let us not be merely hearers of the word, but doers also. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Just a moment of silence. I want you to pray, and I want you to tell the Lord, I only do this if you truly are willing, tell the Lord that whatever he shows, reveals to you today, you'll respond to, you will obey. And that whatever he points out, whatever he touches, you will yield it completely to him, asking him for the power of his grace and the wisdom of his word and the leading of his spirit to enable you to become what God intends you to become and to do what God intends you to do.
Okay, would you all look this way, please? We're glad to come here and be with you all the day and throughout the week. I'd like to have you all take your Bible now and go to John chapter 3, if you will. John chapter 3. Someone asked me, how do you feel about holding a meeting for your own son? Well, I don't feel any certain way, but I'm thrilled to be with him. I really am. Looking forward to what God will do in your life as an individual, as a Christian. And most of all, if you don't know the Lord, it's our desire that you would come to know Christ as your Savior. I'm sorry my wife cannot be with me. My mother-in-law is almost 101, and my wife is taking care of her in Anderson, South Carolina. And so she would love to be here, and I hope you folk understand it's a period of time that we want to honor our mother and our mother-in-law, and I know that Christ will give the grace during that time, like he does for all of us. Amen? He'll take care of us. Well, y'all have John chapter 3. We're going to bring a message on the subject that's been very, very confusing to many individuals. It's a Bible phrase that our Lord used. The phrase is born again. And I want to bring a message on it. Let's all stand, please. John chapter 3. And would you all look at verses 1 through 4? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Let's pray, please. Our Father, now we need your help to make known the word of God, and therefore we ask for the blessed Holy Spirit to be our guide. May your hearts be attentive to the word of God. We pray your holy name will be magnified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. In John 3, we have the account of a man named Nicodemus who came to our Lord. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, he heard of the great miracles of our Lord, where Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He cured people of leprosy. And he raised others from the dead. And this man said, you've got to be from God. No man can do what you're doing except God's with him. And then Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this man was absolutely confused. In verse 4, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The man was absolutely in the dark. He thought Jesus Christ was saying that a person must have another second birth, a physical birth. But no, Christ was not talking about another physical birth. He was talking about another different birth. Look at me. I was born physically September 10th, 1901. All right? Now, that is when I was born. And when I was born into a family. My father's name is Mike Savinsky. However, when I was a teenager, I was born again. I experienced this new birth of being born again. And when I was born again, I was born into another family, the family of God. 1 John 3:2, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Look here. Just as I look back every year to September 10th and celebrate my physical birth date, I look back at a time of my life as a young man when I was born again. I had the spiritual birth take place in my life. And today, I want to show you what our Lord taught about this area of being born again. It's absolutely crucial that you understand what Christ meant by that phrase. So first of all, Jesus told Nicodemus of the must of the new birth. Look at verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now look this way, please, if you will. Dear lady, look at me. Before you leave this earth, ma'am. Hey, sir. Before you leave this earth, you must be born again. You hear me? Because if you are born just physically, then one day you will die twice. Let me explain this to you. If you are born physically and that's all, and you go through life, then one day, if the Lord tarries, we all in this room will experience a physical death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. 2 Samuel 14:14 says, for we must needs die. Psalm 89:48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? And so one day, there'll be a time, if the Lord tarries, you will experience a physical death. But not only that, if that's all you've just had a physical birth, then you're not going to die physically, but you'll face a second death. Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friend, when a person dies physically, his body is put in the ground. There is the separation. When a person dies spiritually, he's separated from God for all eternity. However, if you are born twice, you're born physically, which you are, and then one day you are born again. The spiritual birth takes place. Then one day, all you'll do, you'll just face a physical death. Several years ago, my dear mom, at the age of 90, in West Virginia, was dying. I was holding my mother's hand as she took her last breath of life. My mother was a godly woman. She knew Christ as her Savior. As I'm holding my mother's hand, my dear mom looked at me and said, Jerry, there's no fear. There's no fear. And then she took her last breath. However, when my mother died, She had just died physically, because when a person who's been born again dies, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, you are absent from the body and you are present with the Lord. Psalm 116 verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so, my friend, look at me. You got to realize that what Christ said here is of the utmost importance in your life. Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that goes for you. But second of all, look at verse 14. Jesus revealed the manner of the new birth. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now look here. Jesus Christ used an historical event that took place in the Old Testament about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. What was this all about? And why did Christ, of all of the events that took place in the Old Testament, why did Christ use that one? Well, when God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt to the promised land, on their journey, the Word of God says, the children of Israel began to complain against God. They began to murmur against God. And they became very embittered against God. And therefore, God sent these deadly snakes, these serpents, among the children of Israel. And those snakes were biting the people of God, and they were dying by the thousands. And so the people ran to Moses. Who was Moses? Moses was God's leader. And they ran to Moses, and they said, Moses, Moses, go to God and plead to God for us. We know we have sinned. How do I know that? In Numbers 21:17, they said, we have sinned, and that we have spoken against the Lord. They said, now, Moses, go to God. Tell God to take the snakes from among the people. So Moses goes to God. And God said, Moses, take the metal brass, shape it into the form of a snake, wrap it around a pole, raise it in the air, tell the people of Israel, when they are struck by one of the serpents, if they will but look to the brazen serpent upon the pole, they will be healed. That's what God instructed. Look at me, don't you ever doubt what God states. Every word of God is pure. Proverbs 30, verse 5. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God gave the command. God told them exactly what to do. So here is a man who was bitten by a snake. He falls to the ground. He hears Moses, and Moses says, look to the brazen serpent upon the pole, and as he holds it in the air, here's a man ready to die. By the way, when I was in India many years ago, there's a deadly, poisonous cobra over there that when it strikes you, you only have a few moments of life left within your body. And these snakes were so deadly. And here's a man bitten by a snake. He hears Moses look for the brazen serpents. He looks up, and when he fastened his eyes upon that brazen serpent upon the pole, the Word of God says he was healed immediately. Now, what is so significant about this whole event? First of all, what is a serpent? Why did God say, make a serpent? In the Bible, a serpent is a symbol of sin. Christ was saying, I'm going to take the sins of the whole world upon my body. And by the way, when he died, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ literally took the sin of the whole world upon his body. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so Christ used the serpent that he would bear the sins of the whole world upon his body. But why was the serpent made out of the metal brass? In the Bible, brass is a symbol of judgment. Jesus said, I will not only die for the sins of the whole world, I will also face the judgment of God. So man would never have to face the judgment of God. And Christ did that. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so Jesus died for our sins. He took our sins upon his body. He faced the judgment of God. But remember, the serpent was wrapped around a pole and lifted up in the air. And they had to look in one direction. They had to look this way. They had to look vertically. Jesus said in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Look here, congregation. You cannot look horizontally. You can't look at your denomination. You can't look at your baptism. You can't rely upon your confirmation and your catechism. No, you got to look in one direction. The only direction they could look was looking unto the brazen serpent, and you've got to look unto Jesus Christ. And my friend, the manner of the new birth is one way, looking to Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. But then third of all, Jesus revealed the miracle of the new birth. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, the Word of God says, our Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. My friend, look here, please. Just as they looked in the Old Testament upon that brazen serpent, they were healed immediately. When a person looks to Jesus Christ, Christ gives you immediately everlasting life. I'm grateful to stand here today to tell you the miracle of the new birth. When you come to Christ, he gives you eternal life. He gives you everlasting life. When I got saved, I was 17 years of age. The man of God who led me to Christ was from Lapeer, Michigan. He left Michigan to come to West Virginia and reach the coal miners for Christ. I'm the son, by the way. My dad was a coal miner for 40 years. And one night, that man of God took the Bible. He sat down with me, and he opened the Word of God, and he pointed me to Jesus Christ, and I asked Christ to save me that night. And when I got saved, he said, Jerry, I'd like to have you read a passage for me. Would you please read it? I said, I never read the Bible out loud in my life, not one verse. And so I said, okay. He turned to John 3:36, and he said, now read the first part of that verse. And I read out loud, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He said, okay, now look at me. He said, who did you believe on tonight? I said, well, I believe on Jesus Christ. I said, okay, that's right. He said, what kind of life did Christ give you just this evening when you believe on him? I said, well, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I said, sir, he gave me everlasting life. He said, well, then let me ask you a question, Jerry. How would you define everlasting life? Hey, I was not used to all this Baptist questioning me, all these questions. Well, I didn't know the Bible. You know, we are raised with alcohol and fighting and profanity and the tavern. My dad was a bouncer in a tavern, and I didn't know the Bible, and I didn't know Bible terminology. And he said, well, how would you define everlasting life to me, who just called upon Christ? And I said, sir, well, does that mean I'm going to live forever? And the tears began to fall down that man's face. He said, yes, Jerry, that's what it means. You're going to live forever. I went home that night, and for the first time in my life as a young man, I put my hands like this across my chest. I thought my chest was going to burst. I began to think, I have everlasting life. I'm going to live forever. My friend, that's what Christ gives you. He gives you everlasting life. That's a miracle of being born again. And my friend, I thank God when I was 17, I came to Christ. My wife Sharon was saved when she was 9 years of age up in Endicott, New York, under the preaching of a black preacher in a church filled with people who worked for IBM, because Sharon's dad was a man who worked for IBM. As a young girl, she believed in Christ and she was born again. I'm going to tell you something today. I tell it to you kindly. You may have religion, lady. Hey, fella, you may be a hard, industrious worker. But I'm telling you something. You've got to be born again. Christ said you must be born again. That goes for Jerry Savinsky. That goes for you. And the manner of being born again, Christ bore your sins, faced your judgment, was upraised on the cross, died for you. You got to look unto him, and when you do, he'll save you and give you everlasting life. Period. That's Bible. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, with our heads bowed, I've given my life to go across this country and around the world for one reason, not to entertain people or impress you by my Bible knowledge. My desire is to be used of God to help people come to Christ, to know the joy of salvation that only Christ can give you. You've got to come to him. And also to be a blessing to God's people, to encourage you, not to browbeat on you or beat you up, giving you a guilt trip by preaching the truth of God's word to your life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before we have the song of Just As I Am, and Brother Rob will lead us in a moment, I wonder if you say, Jerry, I have never been born again. I've never realized how it happens. I believe what the Bible says is true. And Christ says, I must be born again. And I must be born again, right? Yes, exactly right. And it's through Christ, that's correct. And he'll give me everlasting life. Yes, you can't work for it. It's God's gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. He that hath the Son hath life, the Bible says. You said, Jerry, I'd like to know how I could come to Christ. As they start playing the song of Just As I Am, by this time, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and you say, Jerry, I don't know the Bible, but I believe the Bible. And I know I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I don't know what to do. I admit I don't know what to do, but I want to indicate to God my desire. I want to know how to be born again. Would you raise your hand in the air and say yes? Would you quickly raise your hand? I can't beg you. I can't make you. Like no one forced the children of Israel to look upward. They had to do it on their own. He said, Jerry, include me like that. Would you voice that? Anyone like that say, yes, include me. And then put your hand right back down. May I speak to those of us who are saved? You say, Brother Jerry, I have loved ones who are not saved. They never experienced the new birth. I want you to pray for God to help me this week to be used of the Lord to invite my friends and my neighbors to come to these meetings. I pray the Lord will help you do that. If some of you are struggling spiritually and God has spoken to your heart, you say, Brother Jerry, I've got to get things right with the Lord. I'm saved, but I'm gone back on my Lord. Don't raise your hand, but please, when I give the invitation, I invite you to come to Pastor and have someone pray with you. If you're unsaved, I pray you'll come and let someone take the Bible and show you, like a man of God showed me, how I could come to Christ. Our dear Father, now take the authority of thy word. May the Spirit of God be honored. May Jesus Christ be magnified. May someone who's never been born again come to our blessed Savior, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, would you all turn a page?